despite continued Iraqi resistance and that opposition inside and outside the USA, to a certain extent, might have won out over rights. Shamefully, this Commission on Human Rights has not condemned the illegal invasion and the bloody occupation that includes systematic torture and cruel and inhuman treatment of the Chinese. The survivors of the indigenous peoples of North America who were invaded and colonized by the United States are cognizant of the roots of the United States' current behavior in the world. The U.S. military uses the term Indian country to refer to enemy territory, for instance, in Fallujah and other areas of Iraq not yet pacified. This term illustrates the origins of U.S. militarism. However, violence is only one weapon in the U.S. arsenal in its quest for world domination and its genocide against the poor peoples of the world. So-called democracy is its most pernicious weapon. By democracy, the United States means elections and majority rule, not the right to food or to housing or employment or literacy or quality education or to water or to any other collective human right that takes meaning to a functional democracy. The reality of national elections in the United States is that only with hundreds of millions of dollars is a candidate able to launch a campaign for office. The majority of eligible voters do not register to vote, and among those who do register, the majority don't vote. That is because candidates, in order to gain the required funds, must reflect the corporate elite's dominance and offer absolutely nothing to the voters. In every election where there is a choice for allowed to vote for none of the candidates, that choice would prevail. In fact, in not registering or voting, the majority is expressing its negative view of the candidates and the system. This is the system the United States is invading and intervening in other countries to impose. And if those countries don't accept the system, they are likely to be invaded or occupied. As one native leader has said, Indians are prisoners of democracy. Well, very rarely is there applause in the UN, but that there was applause for this very loud applause with this small statement. People seem to regard me as some sort of isolated person who came there to speak against the United States. And I think that's rather sad that you get very little news about any resistance here in the United States. I found that also at a seminar I helped organize while there on Iraq, where I was the only U.S. citizen there. And again, I was treated that way. I felt very uncomfortable because it does reflect that we are being perceived as simply approving of this. Well, I wanted to leave about 2 minutes for discussion. I'll mention again this event. And tomorrow night, also a spotlight on anarchist women at City Lights Books, 5 p.m. down in North Beach. If any of you are still here and can come, or locals who can come. Sharon Presley has just published a book on Wallace and Declare, of her writings, and Lucy Parsons' book, which was published, which I wrote an afterword. The two of us will be reading today and discussing anarchist women, which I'm hoping the next anarchist book fair will be on the theme of anarchist women, and will be more than. That's a really good question. It was certainly happened most in my mind there at the meetings that always is with the very traditional, I think natural and I guess the traditional people. Really, I think the work is, I think guided to be invited at the UN is challenging state power. It's really saying, okay, this organization of states exists, but you're artificial states. You're not real. You're not nations. You're not peoples. We are peoples. And we are not political entities as much as people who belong to the earth. And I formerly fell in love with anarchism at a very young age because my grandfather was a Guapo. And my father's name is Hugh Warrior Haywood Scarberry Pettigrew Dunbar. Named after the IWW founders. So I grew up with that. I grew up in rural Oklahoma where that's really the radical political tradition. So it's very much in me. But I think it does seem as though the indigenous peoples and nations are trying to establish themselves as states by going to the UN, but they really are. They're challenging the state and the idea that the nature of the state, because for every one of them, the state is their unit. The state is what has put them where they are, and the state is what has allowed situations to come in. The state is truly purely their enemy in every case. So it's kind of, seems like a contradiction, but I actually think it's an extremely important move on the rights of state. I think that's it.